Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.
Welcome, everyone, to an extra special baby-making edition of Brainstorm Brewery. This is episode number 63. I'm your host, Marcel. We're joined by Jason Ault. Hey, everybody. I'm a totally different guy from Marcel. Yeah. We got Ryan Bushard.
What's up? Bushard? Really?
Yeah. And we got Corbin C. Haas Hostler.
Hey, everybody.
Corbin is our resident fantasy football expert.
Something like that. It's my first year to do it. I'm not sure exactly that that makes me an expert.
That's a great story. Anyway, I gotta go. I'll see you all later. Bye, well, Marcel. Thanks for starting the podcast and then leaving.
Well, thank you. We couldn't do it without Marcel.
Okay, everybody. So without Marcel to keep us on track, this could be terrible. So let's get this show on the road. What do we want to talk about first this week?
So some stuff happened this week. I guess by the time people listen to us, it'll be last week with the World Magic Championships. Basically, everyone there played really boring blue, white, red decks for Standard and Modern. So
no, like there were 16 decks there, and literally three of them were not Jund or blue, red, white.
Yeah.
And the ones that weren't Jund or blue, red, white, there was a Naya, there was a Boros, and there was a Gruul.
Yeah, it was a really sad state of affairs.
I don't even think it's that Standard is like that narrow so much as those were just like the
consensus best decks.
Right,
sure.
And, you know, when you're in a room full of these players, like the top players in the world, they're just going to play the deck that, you know, gives them the least variance and the most chance to, you know, to not lose to your own draws. So it's just those good stuff decks kind of lend themselves to that.
And the blue-red-white decks, like, it's for good players playing well, playing tight. If you put the consensus best, quote-unquote, blue-red-white deck in the hands of Joe Blow FNM, he's not going to take down, you know, an SCG Open. So that's why that you see maybe one blue, red, white deck in the top eight versus, you know, it was a full 45% of the field at the Invitational.
Right. It's like, I mean, it's not like Jund is standard era Jund where you put it in anyone's hands and they can cascade Bloodbraid Elf into Blinding and win.
No, it wasn't even that. God, it was the, it was Bitblast into Bloodbraid into Blinding.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's not even like Valakut where somebody goes 2-4-6 kill you. Like, it's more common to like Delver a year ago where it was like you go to these big events and you have pros playing Delver and they're just winning a massive percentage of their matches, but at FNM Delver had like barely a 50% win percentage just in the hands of regular players. So I think it's kind of the red white blue deck is kind of like that where you give it to the best players, they're gonna take it a lot farther than, you know, a random person.
So I think talking about a lot of the blue red white and talking about the fact that there were three quote-unquote rogue decks is probably a good segue into picks of the week. And if Corbin's not going where I think he's going, I got my pick lined up. So why don't you tell me why you even brought that up?
Well, I'm going into that Scavenging Ooze right
now. Oh, I got a different card. Excellent. Go ahead, Corbin.
We all have different cards.
No, we don't, Ryan. I'm stealing yours.
At the time of this cast, Scavenging Ooze can be had for $14, $13, $14 online. And I'm pretty sure those days are not going to last long. It's been picking up a lot of steam. The mid price on it has risen a few dollars, and it's probably on its way to 20, and it's probably going to sit there. Because here in, oh, you know, a month and a half, we're going to be completely done with M14. Nobody's going to want it anymore, and to get the big influx of players that come in every fall from the you know, Duels of Planeswalkers comes out in the summer, you get new people in, they get excited by the new large set, people come back in the summer, or in the fall, who maybe didn't play in the core set, and core set prices can get a little crazy. And that's, you know, in the past we've had these cards go from like, $15 or $20, whereas if they were in a large fall set, maybe they would only be like $10. So I'm pretty sure Scavenging Ooze, you know, for the next, maybe you have 2 weeks maybe to get them, 3 weeks right now, and then I'm pretty sure they're just not gonna be cheaper than $20.
Excellent. Okay. The card I want to talk about is, suck it, Ryan. It's a Burning Earth.
Oh, god damn it, you really did steal mine.
I knew it.
Okay. I thought about that.
Burning Earth is a card I went deep on, not as deep as I would have liked, because I was, you know, between eBay and TCG player, and I was a little cash poor. I didn't go as deep as I would have liked at, like, a buck, and now they're, like, four. Burning Earth, Brian Kibler played Burning Earth in his quote-unquote, like, rogue Gruul deck, and he just crushed everybody. The thing about Burning Earth is, Gruul and, like, Naya and Jund players were, like, jamming it before, and they would put it in there, they're like, well, shit, I took 7 damage from my own Burning Earth. This card sucks. No, you suck. The card is fine. Somebody like Brian Kibler is going to crush everybody with Burning Earth. The card is amazing. And the fact that it went from, like, 1 to 4, it's a pretty insane growth in terms of percentage. Like, Voice of Resurgence going up $3 wasn't all that good, but a $1 card quadrupling, that's pretty significant. And Ryan wanted to talk about this because he's been selling quadrillions of them on TCG Player, and I had the same experience. All 20 copies that I had just from trading, gone completely. And I'm actually holding a few more just to see if I can get it to go above 4. The card's the real deal. It's a great hoser. And once you learn to play around it and don't have a big greedy mana base, 2 colors is probably the most you want. If you look, that's what Kibler was running. Burning Earth is really going to stuff all those blue, red, white decks with those greedy mana bases and those non-basic lands that do other stuff too.
Absolutely. I think when we talked about this on our M14 episode, we were pretty excited by the possibility of it, if I remember right. I don't remember what grade we gave it necessarily, but I know that we saw some potential in it. I mean, that said, now that it's gone from $1 to $4, what do you think the ceiling is on it?
I don't know.
5 or 6?
I don't want to sell every single one I can. I was so happy somebody bought 20 for me today. I put 21 more up. I've got about another 180 that I hope I'm done with by the end of the week.
So a lot of people think it'll probably think 4 is the ceiling.
So is that what you're saying, Ryan? It's not going to go any higher?
I'm happy that I'm selling them for higher than Star City retail, even if they're sold out. Everybody else's retail is like $4. Plenty of places still have them in stock that you can find occasionally. They're not in the numbers that they were before. It's not like 50, 60 in stock, but places still have 8, 12. So, I mean, it's not like the entire internet's bought out. The TCG player's still holding strong. None of them are really getting above 5 that are actually selling. I think there's a couple of people out there who really think this is a thing and are jumping on the ship way too late. I bought it in at between 60 cents and like $1.20, and I'm happy to unload all like 250 copies I got right now. Not only does this card, you know, has it hit the ceiling now, we're seeing the maximum amount of play. If we don't get good dual lands in Theros, we have to remember, we're losing 10 duels.
I want to say that Mauro said something about there is going to be a new type of dual land that we haven't seen before, and that'll be in Theros.
Yep. That's fine, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's playable. It has to be just as playable as the M12 ones, or the M cycle right now, / Innistrad cycle, to make Burning Earth as good as it is.
Name a cycle
of
rare lands that gave you 2 different kinds of mana that were not playable.
I was just about to say that, yeah. You have to go back.
It's not about being playable. It's about being playable as a 4 of. Like, you're not necessarily, if you're in a 3-color deck, even if you were to put the Zendikar lands in, like Creeping Tar Pit and all those, or World Wake, or whatever set that was, you would not be running a 4 of that card. It doesn't matter if you've seen it before or not. If it's not a 4
of. Those
weren't
there
four
to fix mana, though. No one read Creeping Tarpit to fix
we
mana.
We don't know that we're getting duels to fix mana. If it's something new, it's probably not to fix mana.
Okay, let's look at M14. Once M13's gone, we lose Farseek. We will keep Lay of the Land, I think. And, like, what else will we have?
That's pretty much, that 4 mana cost. No, that was in M13, so no.
Yeah.
Pretty much nothing. Like, I don't know. I think if Ryan can go back and name us a cycle, like, I think you're just wrong about those lands and World Wake. People ran those as 4 of.
People played the Ice Age Pain.
You play them in a 4 of in a dedicated 2-color deck. You are not in a 2-color environment right now, and if you are a 2-color environment, Burning Earth is not nearly as good.
You're telling me Jund and Sander didn't run 4 Raging Ravines.
That's fine.
But that's what you just said, that they weren't. So, like, but
that this is, like, they also were utilizing that as a way to get around control. That deck did not start with 4 Raging Ravines. That was what that deck became based on the environment. And again, unless you need it for the mana fixing, I just don't think that we are going to see the same kind of mana bases that we are seeing right now come rotation. Because there was a surprisingly good synergy, I mean, that we really took for granted between this core set duels and the shock lands. And that is, you know, the ability to be able to bring them in and play untap and stuff. You really, I mean,
yeah,
you have to get a pretty good set of duels to convince me that, every deck is going to have to run at least 4, if not 8 copies of whatever these duels are.
Sure. I mean, that's not it.
Again, we've been spoiled because we've had the core set duels for how many years now?
Yeah, I mean, that's not much of a prediction. Hero came out and said as much that, or it was in the development article or something, that they are not going to, the era of mana bases this easy are not going to be true moving forward. But to me, that just makes it like, if people, I think people will go to these two color decks more so than they will just have all the mana they need and not have to play the new ones. Like,
that's fine. Then you just put the nail in your coffin anyway. If they go to a two color deck, Burning Earth isn't nearly as good. The point being, Burning Earth after rotation is less likely to be good than it is now. I'm not saying that, like, sure, they could print a duel that, you know, is really good as a 4 of in all these decks. I'm not saying it can't happen. All I'm saying is I'm not going to put my money on it, and I'm certainly not buying into Burning Earth now on the assumption that it's going to get any better after rotation. I think that is the time to dump them.
I think it's quadrupled. Is it going to quadruple again? Like, no, I'm less excited about spending $4 to sell it for $6. Than I am spending a buck to sell it for $4. Well, so yeah. I think you probably missed the boat on Burning Earth. And this is a card that I want to say the 4 of us all said we were pretty excited about during the pre-release.
Okay.
During the spoiler.
Right. So we're talking about this as your pick of the week then. So your pick, your call is to sell Burning Earth.
Yeah, sell it.
Okay, I agree. Ryan, what do you got for us this week?
Well,
he wanted to talk about Burning Earth for 20 minutes.
I
want to sell
Burning Earth. And I mean, I guess we'll just move on because we spent enough time on this anyway. It was the exact same thing. I mean, yes, it's seeing a lot of play. I'm very happy selling them right now.
Okay. So the other thing that has been spoiled this week, I guess, is from the Vault 20. And it's good. You know, there's obviously not anything as exciting in the rest of the set as the Jace that was spoiled. So what are you guys' thoughts on the financial future of this? And, you know, if people at home are, you know, I'm sure obviously you tell people to give them an SRP, but what if they're sort of selling them at $250? You know, what do you guys think people should do with these?
So a lot of people were in at $250 when they saw there was a Jace. We knew like 5 cards. We knew like Jace, Impulse, Gilded Lotus, I want to say, and him. And everyone's like, oh my God, only $250? I'm going to go sell blood. So they were buying them on eBay for like $250, and now everyone is saying, oh, I'm so embarrassed I paid $250 now that we know it's just Jace in there. But
just Jace.
Just Jace. I know, that's what I'm like, it's a foil Jace.
I would actually pay $250 that it didn't have a Jace in it.
So we've never had a foil Hinda Torak. We've never had a foil Finhorn Elves. We have had a foil Impulse, right?
The new foil Venters are pre-selling for $25 to $30 already.
It's a new art on Gilded Lotus, which is an EDH auto include.
Yeah, that Gilded Lotus is insane.
I think
that's one you've really got to get off of early, though. I think it's one of those things where it's
going to hold. No, that's going right in Brittany's deck. People who follow me on Twitter will know that I handed her a Gilded Lotus to put in her EDH deck, and she looked at it and said, I want a foil.
Oh.
So, and if I do get the foil Gilded Lotus, that's where that's.
Yeah, this Gilded Lotus is going to be, like, this Gilded Lotus is insane art. And now that it's getting reprinted for a third time, I believe, I don't necessarily see this getting reprinted for a while. So, I mean, that card in particular, but, I mean, really, so obviously, you know, pick them up if you can singly, but, I mean, so do you guys think that buying in at $250 on the sealed product and keeping it sealed is going to pay off a year from now?
How could it not? Like, I just, people are saying that $250 alone just for the foil Jace is too much, and I don't see that. Like, I realize there's going to be a lot more FTV20 than there was FTV Realms or anything like that, but I just, Jace.
Where does that information come from?
We're extrapolating from stores that were given like 5 FTV Realms have been allocated 20 FTV20s.
Okay. Yeah, that's what my store got, 20 as well.
So this is stores that were not getting as much FTV before are suddenly getting more FTV20. I think they kind of want to control the price of Foil Jace and have a good 20th anniversary product that everyone's going to be excited about. If Jace weren't in it, I wouldn't pay $250, but I wouldn't be disappointed either. I'm not super excited about Char, but, like, people want a Foil Finhorn Elves. They want a new Foil, or they want a Foil Hinda Torak. They want the
Finhorn Elves. I think Finhorn Elves are actually worth getting into right now in cash money. They're selling on eBay as low as $1 or $2 a piece.
From the FTVs?
Yeah.
That seems wrong, because
it's the only way you can get a foil, and anyone who wants it needs a 4 of, and or, you know,
now they have Elvish Mystic. People don't, they aren't forced to run Finhorn in it anymore.
Elvish Mystics are still like $6, $7, $8 foil right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised.
I mean, obviously that will go down, but at the same time, well, maybe it won't go down. I mean, think about if Lanowar Elves only been printed once, what the foils of that would be.
Yeah, so, Yeah, the FTB20, I don't know, maybe we're the three biggest monkeys in the world, but I really don't see why you don't want to pay $250 for this, and certainly Snappy's at MSRP. That's a no-brainer. So Corbin was trying to ask earlier, are we keeping these sealed or are we busting them?
I think this is actually one you want to bust. I think you bust, you get rid of the cards like the Guild Lows and stuff that have that immediate shock value for the EDH players who want them, because I don't see that gaining as quickly as some of the other cards. I think you dump the Mind Sculptor, if you can, you know, get like the 253 for it, let it pay for everything else, and then, you know, take the rest of the cards, sit on the Hymn, because I think that's, you know, it's at 20 now, I can see that hitting 30, as, you know, they get sucked up, people realize you need 4 of for
any deck. It'll absolutely be a 4 of. So that's the thing, like, a lot of the stuff that people aren't as excited about. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm not excited about Char, but some people aren't excited about Impulse or if the Finhorn Elves are the Hymn. So that's stuff people will need as a 4 of if they want it at all.
I mean, maybe. You're going to have a difficult time getting, I mean, if you can get 250 for Jace, obviously that's insane, but that's, they're going on eBay for like 175 right now, so you're not quite getting, so just looking at the sealed 250 you're getting in, if you bust it, you're getting rid of Jace for like 175, so you need $75 from Marissa's cards to break even. Like, I think you just keep them sealed, because once these dry up on the market, even in a matter of months, like
you can easily get 75 though. Two of the other cards, take your pick out of like 6 or 7 of them, will get you that 75.
Right, but like, is that, that breaks you even on the 250 you paid for.
Right,
like,
so everything else is free. I have no problem getting a Finehorn Elf and, say a Hymn and a Swords for free.
So you're putting $250 into a product to do some work and then have 3 cards.
I would rather just buy those 3 cards for like $10 total.
Yeah, that seems very, very wrong. Like, to me, I think you keep it sealed because, like, point me to the From the Vaults that hasn't gone up over time.
From the Vaults Legends went up, and that one is just salty garbage.
Yep. Like, there's no way it's
definitely going to go up. I think you can leave them sealed. What I'm saying is I think there is merit to, there are a number of these cards that are overpriced right now that are not bad to get rid of. And at the same time, like, I don't think I really mind dumping the Venser right now for 30. I do think it's going to go up over time. I think probably next Modern season will go up. But I think you're going to have a short-term low. Well, you know, once the people want them for Commander and stuff are out of them.
Well, if you're looking for
shit. I think that strategy is going to see you breaking even, keeping a bunch of $1 cards, and doing a lot of work and fronting a lot of money.
I don't think so, though, because I think there's a number of cards in the set.
Okay, I think Corbin and I disagree with you there. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't understand. If you're investing in sealed product, I point me to the From the Vault said it was correct to bust a year later. Like, that's just never been true, so why would it be true with this? If you're investing in sealed product, you're doing it over time, just like you always have, and they've always paid off. And I see no reason why this won't be any different.
I guess part of it for me is, you know, my vision has changed quite a bit since last set, since I started using TCG Player. I'm looking at this, and though we can't see the prices yet, I'm looking at what they're going for on eBay and counting the numbers. We're coming out quite a bit over 250. And I don't think I'm going to have, well, I mean, part of it for me is too, I'm not paying 250 on my copy, so I guess I'm a little more I'm the best person to ask as far as like what a player should do with it, I guess. I'm going to bust it and sell the crap out of them because I know I'll be able to buy more singles down the line. Why not do both?
Well,
if I get one, especially at MSRP, I'm definitely keeping it sealed.
Yeah, like I get mine at MSRP. I get a couple at MSRP if I'm lucky, or at least one, because that's how the stores around Oklahoma do them, some of them. Some of them are charging $200, $250. But I usually keep sealed product all sealed. Like, I'm pretty sure even if you say you make you front $250, right? Say you make $100. Say you make $150 and you put 5 hours of work into it, like, you're not even doubling up. Like, we talk about specs.
5 hours of work.
We're specking, we talk about specking on cards and we say
it will take a literal 2 minutes to put these up online.
Okay, and then more time to pack them and ship them, whatever.
Another five hours.
Whatever, maybe you spend 2 hours on it, maybe you spend an hour. But when
you spend 10 minutes.
Even if you spend 10 minutes.
Yeah,
Corbin make his point.
Okay.
When we talk about specs, like, you say if you don't double up on it, it's not worth doing. You don't want to buy Burning Earth at $4 and sell it at $6. You want it to double up. So you're talking about putting some amount of work and $250 cash into a product to not even double up.
Again, I'm not paying $250. I think that's ridiculous.
The question was not what are you doing, right? The question is what should people at home do? And the
I guess it depends on what the prices do. I mean, sure, leave them sealed at first. I think it depends on what the prices do. I think there's a number of cards in the set that I want to get rid of immediately.
That's not an answer.
Other cards, like the Jace, the Jace is going up, plain and simple. That Jace is way underpriced right now. The regular Jaces you can find as high as like, or not as high as, but average selling for like between 120 and 130. I mean, sometimes as low as 110. But either way, they are constantly selling for those prices.
Right.
And now, you're telling me now that a new foil one is coming on for less than double the price?
Right, so your advice is this Jace is definitely going up, but I'm gonna open it and sell it anyways.
Yes, because there are a number of the cards in the set that I believe are going down. I want to be able to
then
keep this
why,
out.
Why
make
would
the most
you
money over
it,
out of it?
The Jace. Yeah, and then, yeah, if you sell everything for $200, you've got a $50 Jace.
Makes no sense.
So there are two things I want to talk about before we move on.
Yeah.
What is this going to do to the price of the foil World Wake Jace?
Well,
it's going to drop it to 600 and it's going to stay there, and this card's going to be 350 to 400.
Okay, I guess that's my other question, too, is like, could this possibly not go up? In the past, if you look at FTV, like an FTV, I can't think of a specific example. Okay, Berserk, Sensei's Divining Top, Aether Vial, those aren't really compared to, well, there's no foil Berserk to compare it to, but if you look at like a foil top versus a regular top versus an FTV, the FTV top is very close to the non-foil top and not close to the foil. So I think a lot of people are extrapolating that we think the Jace is a little overpriced because compared to a non-foil World Wake Jace.
You're smoking crack, right?
Well, that's kind of what I think. So,
do you know what the sense of Divine Top from Exiled is worth?
No, well, yeah, what are they going for?
The foils.
Are they closer to the foil price now?
They're 35. I mean, the foil price, I don't think it's closer, but it's like right in the middle at worst.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that took years, right?
Sure.
So do we think that the foil Jace from FTV 20 is going to approach the price of the foil price or the non-foil price?
The foil slowly. Like, so before this was spoiled, you know, retail on at least, you know, some of the major sites was $1,000 on a foil World Wake Jace. And it immediately dropped to $800 when this was spoiled. I think that even if the price on it doesn't necessarily come down, because it's not like people are going to necessarily be in a rush to sell there, so it's not like there's going to be a bunch of supply hitting the market lowering the price, but I think demand for it will dry up because people can, to an extent, because people can get the foil from the vault. But I do think, I think both will become more expensive. You know, maybe they bottom out 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, after this comes out, and then I think they both go up. But I see the From the Vault one approaching the World Wake one, World Wake foil faster than does the World Wake non-foil price.
Yeah, that was kind of my inclination too, but a lot of what I'm seeing online is people that don't feel that way, and I kind of thought that, the lunatics were running the asylum, so I'm glad to talk to you guys and feel that you're on the same page as me.
Yeah, I mean, I am. Like, the argument, to play devil's advocate, is that the person who's going to spend a bunch of money on a foil Jace is going to want the original printing. But, like, there's plenty of people who are just going to be happy with foil Jace, period.
That's the thing. So, there are people who will go buy the originals, and that's why they will remain to be $600. Because of how rare they are, there are going to be far less of those, I think, than there will be from the vaults.
Right,
but I don't think six is the 5-year price. I think 600 is the 1 or 2 year price.
Correct.
I think World Wake Jace, like, it'll go on its original trajectory, probably.
Yeah, like this is not, and at the end of the day, for, you know, the card that is Jace of Mind Scorpio is comparable to pretty much nothing else in Modern Magic. I don't think it's gonna be held back. And I think this kind of takes the risk of a reprint out of the air for a little bit. And it comes in, like, the reprint we are getting is one that isn't going to completely destroy the price. You know, like, this isn't a Commander thing where they're going to print a ton of them.
Right. I would rather see this than Judge Foils.
Yeah, this is actually perfect. This is actually a win-win.
Yep.
The player community is happy, and the people that had the foil World Wake Jaces are going to be happy, too.
Right. So, like, I have no problem holding on to either of them, and it actually, like, makes me more inclined to keep them because I think it's more stable because I don't think there's another reprint coming soon on it. Yeah. Okay. We covered that pretty well, I would say. Is there anything else about it, about From the Vault that we missed? Any other cards you guys want to touch on?
I want to touch on swords really quick. I think this is another one of those things, like, I don't care how many times you reprint foil swords. Look at what just happened to the last Judge foil. These you can still find for $10 a piece. That feels pretty underpriced to me. I don't know that I want to buy in at 10, but I'm very happy to trade for them at 10. I think, again, this will be a card that will end up being $20 within a year, $40 within, you know, 2 years probably. And stay about there.
Yeah, I see that as well. I mean, I don't know about those numbers necessarily, but, like, it's not going to be cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, we see a number of those cards, though, that have been in previous From the Vaults. and kind of fill that role of like, oh, you know, it's a staple, it's good. People kind of take it for granted when it first comes out, especially when you have a card like Jace to overshadow the rest of the set. And so I don't think you're going to necessarily see those pre-sale prices. Like, had Swords been in this without Jace, and then it had not been that huge, like, you know, $300 card, I think Swords would have pre-sold at 20.
Okay, so here, before we move on, I'll make one more coin question about this. What do you guys think about the long-term value of this from the vaults in comparison to some of the past ones? Like, Realm, the most recent ones, like Realms and Legends and all of that. Do you think this is a better buy-in than those were?
I don't know, just because if there are four times as many of them, maybe not. Like, even with the Jace and, like, being 20 cards instead of however many were in the other ones, 10?
15, I think.
15, yeah, something like, whatever. With being more cards and having the foil Jace, I just don't know if it's true that there are many more. Like, if we find out that it's like, oh, no, it's the same amount, and the stores were just getting lucky they were getting four or five times as many. But if there are four and five times as many, maybe it's not the best buy-in.
I mean, I'm inclined to think that, like, my personal inclination is to say that the market's already taking that into effect, because if there's more to pre-sell, then the price will adjust accordingly. You know, the Magic market is famously inefficient, so I'm not positive that's the case. But, like, I'm inclined to agree that this is probably one of the, I think this is probably the best one in the last 3 years.
I mean, I can absolutely agree with that, because the last two were both duds. And I don't know if they did that on purpose or if they just couldn't get lightning in a bottle.
I think maybe they were a little scared of the ones before that, like when Relics came out and was going for infinite dollars and everyone was complaining about not being able to get them. It maybe made them a little gun-shy.
Okay. Now, let's move on, and there's, I got something I want to address. Do you guys know what that sound is? That is me riffling a huge stack of tokens that came in the mail today. Thank you, Heather.
Yeah, Revised Angel.
Heather, now of Gathering Magic. Welcome to the team. She mailed out our tokens that we wanted to have in Vegas. Okay, so if you haven't heard this whole debacle, I'm going to go into it real quick. We were all out in Vegas, and Marcel's like, hey, we know Heather. She lives out in Vegas. We can have the tokens sent to her house. She'll get them, and then we can go get them from her house and have them out in Vegas to pass out and blah, blah, blah. So we actually had the tokens printed up in time for GP Vegas. We all packed up and left on Sunday. The tokens showed up at her place on Monday, literally the day after we'd all left. So we got totally blown out there. And then with everything happening with Heather leaving Legit and having to wrap up things there and taking on her new role at Gathering Magic, she's been very busy. And so she finally found the time to mail them out. Thank you, Heather. I got them today. And my Twitter feed blew up. I took a picture and said, hey, who wants one? LOL. And my Twitter actually blew up. And I'm a little overwhelmed with the demand for these things. So if you see me in person, that's a great way to get some. I'm going to figure out how much I want to charge people for shipping, because I want to give these tokens out, but I don't want to go out of pocket for shipping. So once I figure out what to charge people, a good way to get a hold of me and ask me for tokens is just to send me an email. My email's in the show notes. Or hit me up on Twitter, I guess, is an okay way to do it.
Jason, tell us about the tokens for people who aren't on Twitter, who don't know, haven't seen them. Explain.
So if you are on Twitter, you've known that my avatar has not been a picture of me for the last 2 months. It's been the picture from the front of this token. Now, we had the artist Polish Tamales do the art for this. Now, we decided that the best token generator in the recent sets is obviously Voice of Resurgence. So Voice of Resurgence gives you a green-white elemental token that is star-star, where star is the number of creatures you control. So this token is the green-white star-star. It says creature elemental. If you remember our last tokens, they didn't have a power and toughness or anything. They were just sort of business cards. They looked good, but they didn't function all that well as tokens. This is card-sized. The front features an angry-looking stag in a loincloth brandishing a broken bottle. It's a green bottle. I like to think it was Jägermeister, but it can be whatever liquor makes elemental stags fighting drunk. And on the back, it has our logo designed by Maddie Studios. Has the beer and the brain in the beer with the lightning all around, and the Brainstorm Brewery logo on the glass. And Maddie Studios actually did that for our playmats, which we are getting another round of playmats, so contact us for those. Kind of underestimated the demand. When we had a hard time selling 20 t-shirts, we're like, there's no way we'll sell more than 30 mats. We sold 30 mats in 30 seconds in Vegas. So we will be getting hundreds of mats for everybody that wants one. And that's got the same mat logo is on the back of the token. So these are the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, all bias aside, these are actually just legitimately great tokens. And I'm very excited. And I'm excited to be sitting here with a box of 1,000 of them. I actually earlier in my basement just threw them all up in the air and made it rain. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. I don't have any in my hands yet.
Yeah, I have mine are also on the way. They're really cool. And one of the better things about the token is that, like, the creature elemental part is a pretty small thing down in the bottom. It's perfectly okay to use either side of these just as a token to represent anything. You know, it's not overtly, yeah, he doesn't have the rules text cluttering up the picture, so it's, you know, not overtly a Voice of Resurgence token. You can get away with using it for anything. Also, considering Voice of Resurgence tokens are actually like $5 retail these days, this is probably a good alternative if you can get a hold of them. But I think we'll all have them hopefully in the next week or so. So if you see us in person, we will have them on to give out to anybody.
And this segues perfectly into what I want to talk about next, which is Gen Con. This may or may not be our last cast before Gen Con. Ryan and I are going to be there. I'm going to be there with these tokens. So if you see me at Gen Con, I should be wearing a Brainstorm Brewery or Gathering Magic shirt, because I am contractually obligated to do so, apparently.
Unfortunately, Marcel and I can't make it this year. It's the first one I'm missing in 3 years, so I'm pretty disappointed. But hopefully we'll all four be there again next year.
That would be ideal.
Gen Con this year, there's no, like, last year we had the Magic Cup there, and it was a big deal, and this year it's the first time in a while, because every year before that there were also Nationals there. It's been a long time since Gen Con's just had Magic without a big event. So it's, I mean, probably going to be refreshing, I think, so it's too bad I won't be there. But
well, yeah, there'll be more side events and more, you know, 5Ks and stuff like that, so,
a little more casual than it may have been otherwise.
And it's almost better, like, if I don't have to play a 12-round event at Gen Con, because that's what, any time I was, it was toward the end of a season, and it was, like, the last tournament I could play with a deck, I would go to Gen Con and play, like, you know, a 5K or something like that, or a qualifier, because it was the last time I could play with a deck before it rotated. So the last few years at Gen Con, I've been like, oh, well, I got to play in these events, and now if I play a side event draft or play, like, some EDH or something like that, because I'm one of those people now, I'm not tied into playing a 10-hour tournament, so I think that's almost a little better. Because you should go to Gen Con to, not to play Magic, but to, like, experience Gen Con. It is the best 5 days in gaming.
Yeah, it's insane. So hopefully we all make it back next year and get a, you know, last year we were all four there, and Marcel and I did some coverage, and we all hung out and met a bunch of people. It was a good time. So hopefully, you know, we'll be back to it next year, but it'll be fun for everyone's there, and that's, I think we had a big Gen Con episode last year to actually talk about this, but the best piece of advice I have for Gen Con is to not lock yourself into those Magic events. It's to experience the rest of the convention, because it's huge, and there's always something going on, and it's a lot of fun. So you're missing out if you just spend 12 hours a day playing Magic 4 days in a row.
You already know you like Magic. Like, go and find a game that you didn't know you like. Like, I didn't know I liked Dominion until we went to the Rio Grande Games, or Rio Grande. I don't know the name of the game company. All I know is that they make Dominion, and I like Dominion. We had the game demoed for us, and the guy who demoed the game was actually a Magic player, so he could explain some of the things in terms we understood. And I played Puerto Rico there, too, and learned that I liked that game. So just don't go and do a bunch of stuff you already like if you're going. Go and do stuff you don't know whether you like or not, and that's how you figure that kind of thing out. So if you try a bunch of new games and come back with a bunch of stuff, then you did it correctly, in my estimation. Oh, and don't eat a Steak and Shake. That's my best advice. You can do better than Steak and Shake.
Sure.
The RAM is literally right next door.
And there's probably only a 3-hour wait to get a table. Okay, so do we want to move into What's It Worth this week?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's play a game.
Has anyone actually come up with one?
Who wants to start us off?
Nobody wants to start us off. We're all a little bit underprepared, so while we're typing away, let me...
What's It Worth? Okay, I got one. This one's going to be a little obscure. Since I started selling a TCG player, here's a What's It Worth. I bought a card this morning for a few dollars, a promo Emrakul that was absolutely damaged. The entire sides are destroyed. Thing has a good crease down the center of it. What did I sell it for on TCG Player?
That's the promo. Not how What's It Worth.
Like some Bilbo Baggins cheating stuff right here. You're ruining the rules of the game, all right? There's your sacred rules associated with What's It Worth, just like the Riddle game. and you are cheating.
I want to point out that Smeagol is the one that cheated, not Bilbo.
Bilbo's question was cheating, just for the record.
Yeah, but Smeagol's answer of string or nothing, that was cheating.
I mean, sure, but he was cheated first.
Actually, if you read the Silmarillion, you will... I don't actually have any more... I don't know the Silmarillion enough to let you into anything from there, but...
Gollum simply responded in kind after being cheated by Bilbo.
Okay.
Oh my god, right. Such a nerd even for a magic
game. Anyways.
So am I.
Alright, I got a good one. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Alright, it's cards only been printed once. Captivating Vampire. I want to know the near mint price and the foil price.
It's only been printed once?
Yes, an M12 or M11 or something.
I think it was M11.
M11, correct.
I got a good guess on this. Alright,
The near mint non-foil?
The foil price.
Oh god.
The foil was in an intro deck or a starter or something. I'm gonna go with 3 for the original, 4 for the foil.
Wow, my guess was actually going to be about $10 for the foil, and probably about 3 or 4 for the non-foil.
Okay, well, here's something that will surprise you. The non-foil is in stock at $6.99.
Whoa!
And the foil, here you go, the foil is in stock at $5.99.
What?
It is actually $1 cheaper to buy a foil plate cop. Oh, sorry, it's foil plate. So the foil regular ones are probably $6.99.
Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, my bad. I didn't see that. But it is probably also $6.99 for the regular near mint foils if they had any in stock. They have played copies of regular ones in there for $5.99 as well.
It's bad at coming up with the question as I am at guessing.
Either way, I'm very surprised to see that this card was $7 the other day when I went to go.
That's a little surprising because I do remember, like, this was one of those, you know, I write about casual cards to pick up because they're going up in value, and I remember
it's a Lord.
Back then. Yeah. I mean, it's a one-time printed Vampire Lord, and vampires are popular, but, like, I remember it was, like, $2 or $3, and I picked a bunch of them up, and it went up to 4, and I assumed it had leveled off at some point.
Oh, my God. Listen to Corbin. It was a one-time printed Vampire Lord. That's why I said it was $3.
I said it was...
You said it was 3.
3?
Yeah.
And that, like, that's the last time I saw it. That's the last time I saw the price on that.
Can you tell I'm stalling? All right, I actually have one if we're ready to go.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right, because I need one of these for Brittany's deck, what is a Vorin Kleck's Voice of Hunger going for? Airman in stock, Cool Stuff, Inc. None of this, what did I sell a ripped up copy for in TCG Player? Bullshit!
Right around 10 bucks.
I was going to say 12.
Ah, you're both wrong. It's only 9. What a steal. I would pay $12 for a Vorin Kleck, so the fact that I get one for $9 on Cool Stuff, Inc. seems like a bargain.
Simply going up.
Yeah, I mean, Vorin Kleck is actually, it's actually unfair. If you know what it does in EDH, and if you care.
Most importantly, it's a mythic.
Yeah, like it frosts your opponent's lands when they tap them. And it's a mythic, and as good as New Phyrexia was, it was the third set.
Yeah.
That set is just full of gas.
Yeah, like Scars, yeah, it's really good. And you got, that whole set is starting, or that whole block rather, is starting to pay off now a couple years down the road. Like, Warm Coils getting expensive, like Boring Clucks is just that random one you pull that's expensive. Like, people have talked about Mimic Bat getting, you know, on the way up. Cage Sun.
That whole block was just so much EDH gas.
Yeah.
You know, while we're on that subject too, it should be mentioned that, I mean, I don't know if this is the same way for everyone, but in my local area, I can still find booster boxes in stores. Sometimes not necessarily sealed, but you can find the open packs for the same price as they're selling the current standard ones. And even at Myers and stuff, I can find the packs on the shelves still for New Phyrexia in certain places.
Yeah.
Same cost. And yet all of these cards continue to grow. And I'm looking on eBay right now, and boxes are going for about $170 to $150 a piece.
Which seems crazy.
Speaking of like Elesh Norn is like $10 right now. And that card is actually played in Modern and, you know, occasionally Legacy and certainly Cube and EDH and all of that. Like, that card seems super underpriced to me at $10 it's around.
Yeah, 10 for Elesh Norn should not be close to Vorin Kleck, I don't think. Yeah,
Elesh Norn's got it. It's just going to be $20 for it.
Well, you know what? If, like, probably all those Frights players just dumped their 4 copies they were using.
Yeah. So this thing hasn't gone up in, it's only been out of standard for a year, so it's like, this is one of those cards that it's 20, like, another year, it's probably going to be 15, 20 bucks.
So, I think if you can find sealed product of Scars, even Mirrodin Besieged, and especially New Phyrexia.
Thrawn could get really expensive come Modern season.
I mean, Thrawn just got real hard to deal with the new Legend rule.
Yeah,
like, Cloning him was a clunky way to deal with him, but it worked, and now you don't even have that. Thrun could be a legit monster, and if I'm trusting Brian Kibler to break that card open.
Well, yeah, it's the kind of card, like, because it's a mythic and it's from a set that's a couple years old now, it's the kind of card that's going to win some sort of modern event early in the season or before the season, and it's going to double from $10 to $20, and everyone's going to make a lot of money on it.
It spiked to around $12.15, and then everyone went, what are we doing? So it's actually back down. When they announced the new Legend rule, it went higher than it is now.
Yeah.
And it's actually down a bit, but I think if it goes down anymore, that might be the time
it's
to buy
it. Really cheap pickup. Like, I guess... Yeah. I have got one, and this, I was about to just tell people that, you know, they should pick it up, but well, what's the worth first? Tell me, what is a Shadow of Doubt worth?
Oh, I know this. I'm extrapolating from what it is on, like, TCG Player, so I'm going to extrapolate that it's probably $4.50 to $5 on cool stuff.
Ryan?
I was going to guess, like, $3 to $4.
Yeah, it's $3.50 out of stock on cool stuff and Star City.
Oh, yeah, it's sold out a lot of places. Shadow of Doubt is one of those cards that people have been speculating on big time lately. I think it's I think there's hype if you can get them, probably.
Well, it looks like it's even gone, it's looking at it now, it's gone up. Like, I tweeted about it, earlier this week, noting that it had gone up from 50 cents to, it was just under $4 on TCG Player. And even looking at it now, it's over five on TCG Player. Like, this is like the Claude Sun Curio and all of that sort of thing that, like, just a random card that's not even necessarily hugely played, that's just going to spike to 10+. And I don't know that it'll stay there, but Ravnica's old, and this card is very good. So, like, not only is it actual land destruction against fetch lands, but it also beats a fair amount of combo decks, so.
Oh, yeah, and players, it stuffs Stoneforge Mystic, too, which is big.
Well, not in Modern, but.
No, not in Modern. Well, there's that the Stoneforge Mystic thing, the one mana sorcery.
Yes.
Steel Shaper's Gift.
There's also Stone Hero Giant.
Yeah, and something might as well be worth money, because Stone Hero Giant's not worth money anymore.
Not anymore.
That guy was like $7-$8. Those are good times.
The important thing is, like, Shadow of Doubt is this card that you can put in your deck and completely host Scapeshift, right? It's like, it's actually the best card to have against Scapeshift. Alternatively, like, you can main deck them because it's just good otherwise, you know, it shuts down a lot of stuff. It's good against Pod. It's good against just any deck that runs fetch lands, which is most of them. And at the very worst, it cycles. Like, it's one of these cards you can just get away with playing.
It's very easy to talk about, post-gaming and say, yeah, this card went up for all these reasons. This is a card a lot of more of us should have seen coming.
Well,
like, when it was sitting at 50 cents.
On this one, since it hit, like, $2 last year, like.
Sure.
I remember this card back in Old Extended. Like, this card's really good. I'm pretty sure this is going to hit $10 during Modern season.
Yeah. Really think so? I don't know. Like, I was part
it's
of that.
It's spiking in the off-season. There's so much stuff spiking in the off-season, and I think it's not done going up. It really, I don't think it is, because no one's playing the card right now, and yet it's still going up.
Yeah, like, wait till people actually get around to making their Modern decks, like, here in 6 months, when we're starting to roll around towards Modern season, everyone's on blue, white, red, and all of a sudden somebody wins a PTQ online running four of these main deck, and people just go nuts. Like, then this is a $10 to $15 card overnight on TCG Player. But so that Modern just spikes all these cards randomly.
If doubling season's 20, this can be 10.
Yeah, like, Modern spikes all these cards so randomly, like, that half of them don't even see play. So when you have something like this, it does see play, and it's actually good. There's no reason to not move in on them, even at $5 right now. Maybe, like, if it goes to 10, you're not necessarily making money if you're buying in cash, but there's no reason not to trade for these right now, every one of them you see.
I like how you managed to turn your pick, your what's it worth into a pick of the week.
Yeah.
That's value, everybody. Corbin just gave you a bonus pick of the week because Ryan didn't do one.
Yeah, that's
full circle. Speaking of coming full circle, do we have anything else we want to talk about tonight before we wrap things up?
I got nothing.
I will take your open mouth, slack jawed silence to mean that you don't have anything to contribute. It's kind of how I feel. Okay, so let's review. Hit me up, get our tokens. Hit me up, get our playmats. We're going to do t-shirts again. Be sure you help us get to at least 20. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing when we couldn't get to 20 t-shirts on Teespring.
We gave too many options. We should have just done one t-shirt.
Just one t-shirt says, shut up, Corbin. That's the only option. We know that now.
Lesson learned. You have to put my name on the t-shirt or it won't sell. I hope you learned your lesson.
Yeah, Yep. FTV 20. Eh, we don't know. Could be good. Burning Earth. Sell them. Scavenging Ooze. Pick them up. Shadow Doubt. Pick them up. Who needs more sell? I guess is what we're saying. Besides all of us, I feel...
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm hoping it's not reflected, but I feel lost without him here.
Yeah. I really hope he comes back next week. I miss Marcel.
Well, I mean,
The editing this week's going to be a shit show. So.
It was nice of Marcel to open the podcast for us. Hopefully he'll stick around next time.
Yep. Too bad we can't get him back to close for us, but I understand.
It was good. I did win a bet because somebody said this podcast would never make it 63 episodes. And I was like, gee, thanks, Dad.
63?
Oh. In all fairness, you haven't made it on the podcast 63 episodes yet.
True. Also, you should just feel lucky because your dad knows what a podcast is.
Yeah.
It's not my grandfather. Like,
My dad doesn't.
My dad was programming computers in college. My dad knew how to program a computer with a stack of punch cards. He probably knows more about the computers than I do, I would assume.
My family's different.
My dad, he knows how to use a fish finder. That's about the closest computer you can get. And after you've met my father, Jason, you know that's the truth. But, alright, well, I suppose we are just, dirtling around at this point. It's probably time to,
I feel like we dirtled around for the last hour.
Meh. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening. We will be back next week with Marcel and possibly a very special guest. So we'll see.
We can't call everybody a very special guest. We should have degrees of guests.
Okay, so who are you going to insult and tell them they're not a very special guest?
Well, we can have a special guest. I think somebody like Marshall Sutcliffe is a very special guest. And anybody who is less of a guest than him is a special guest. And then if we have somebody like Ryan, they're just a guest.
Well, that's
gee, thanks.
That's cold to some people. You're right with Ryan, but...
I think anybody willing to be on our podcast is a very special guest. When you think about it.
Yeah, that pretty much covers it.
I still feel like a guest.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I'm never going to get used to the fact that, like, I'm the new guy.
You came in, like, 5 episodes after we started, and you're the guest 58 episodes later.
Yeah, you were on the episodes before anyone actually heard us. I mean, you joined when we had, like, 500 listeners.
And now we're up to 650. It feels good.
It's all you and your family. Anyways, we are rambling at this point. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
Ooh. If you stay tuned and listen to this for another 20 minutes, there's a bonus track at the end, everybody.
You're a dick.
I am going to put 20 minutes of, like, static at the end of this. Just at the end, it'll just be me farting. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. just me riffling the tokens to make everybody salivate.
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.
Don't do that again.
No, these tokens are cool. Oh, was that too loud? I don't. What did that sound like?
No, it was fine. It was fine. It'll get people's attention if they weren't paying complete attention to the cast.
I just don't want somebody to, like, wreck their car because they were driving to work.
No, it's not that long.
Yeah, it's fine.
Hey, Brainstorm Brewery, I spilled scalding hot coffee on my balls because you riffled the tokens. I no longer want the tokens.
Sued.
Or my balls.
Anyways, that was a good episode, I think.
Yeah, actually, that went really well for not having more, so we flowed very well. Good job, everyone, on, like, keeping on track and keeping these moving.
I think we just had a bunch of pent-up actual financial advice to get out there.
Nothing happened last week. They're like, so, do you like costumes? I like costumes.
Yeah, it turns out it goes better when we talk about
something. You want to talk about M14 finance? Man, Marcel's getting pissed. I'm like, oh man, what if people started playing Haunted Plate Mail with Fiend Slayer Paladin? And Marcel, like, came so close to just telling me to shut up. It was amazing.
Last week? When was this? Last week?
Yeah.
After I got off?
Yeah, it must have been, yeah, because you left early, that's right, yeah. Like, there's nothing financially relevant in M14 to talk about besides, like, hey, Burning Earth is good. When do we think the Merfolk's gonna go up?
Do
what? I don't know, I think it's gonna take a legacy event / modern event for that card to be real. I don't think it's gonna be a real standard player.
What card?
Tide Binding Mage?
Yeah.
Yeah!
I think it'll be okay.
That's your input, Corbin. Yeah, you said the name of a merfolk.
I like merfolk.
Yeah, get him a body bag.
I need to get my foil ones.
Yes, you do.
Those don't, I can't get them at Little Shop, the store where I saw shit. No real players are there, so nobody has cards.
That's cool. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think it's poised to go up, but I don't mind it being cheap in the meantime so I can fill a box of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like to say I fill a box, but I have legitimately filled a 1,000-count box of primordials.
Foils are $8. Jesus.
Foil what? Tidebinders?
Pages. Regular ones are $1.50 and foils are $8 on Cool Stuff.
A foil Mind Sparker or whatever was like 15.
Oh, I forgot to, yeah, Young Pyromancer is 15.
Well, that's, who wants an English foil? Yeah, I'm going to pimp out my vintage deck with an English foil.
Somebody came in the shop the other day and wanted to sell me a Young Pyromancer. And he's like, hey, this is 15. And I looked up and Star City's buy price is like $8. I was like, yeah, I'll give you $2.50. And he's like, okay. I was like, it's $3 with store credit, man. But like, I'm never going to do anything with that thing.
I know.
You're going to sell it to someone else.
I just gave the guy a couple bucks to have one. Like, nobody's going to come in and buy it.
Yeah, I sometimes buy cards just on the greater fool theorem.
Right.
In practice.
Yeah, like, nobody's ever going to buy that thing from me, and I may end up buy listing it, I may not, I don't really care, but, like, I certainly wasn't going to pay $8 on it and then sit on it.
Sure. Right. I think with this little M14 is going to be open, though, it probably will go up over time, so...
Maybe, like, if it's a thing, like, it's...
Like, YPG and that sort of thing in Vintage. Oh, I played a Vintage event, so I'm going to wax philosophical about Vintage now.
Well, tell us all about Vintage, but, like, yeah, it's an English foil. And
well, like, Steve Menendian was trying to talk me into playing that Young Pyromancer Gush list, and I almost did it, and I'm glad I didn't. But the amount of advantage you get is pretty absurd. Just with Cabal Therapy is actually nuts.
Yeah,
Cabal Therapy seems very good. But, like, I still don't know if Vintage is going to make it relevant, make the foil, the English foil.
The thing is, it's one of those cards that, like, it's going to pop up here and there in random combo decks. It's going to see Modern play. It's going to see some Legacy play.
Do you think it'll see Modern play?
Oh,
like, what are people, because people are what, playing?
There's a number of decks that are changing out the...
Gutshot?
What's that?
Gutshot and...
Well, no, there's you don't even run it with Gutshot and stuff. There's, like, the new Storm decks are running that and utilizing that in combination with, like, Infernal Plunge and him and shit. Like, that's the new Storm decks that everyone's playing around with right now.
Oh, that's not good.
That's fine.
Who cares? Sell into hype.
Whether or not you feel it's good doesn't change what the pros are testing. So.
Okay, sure, they're testing, they're going to decide it's not good, and then the price is
right, but I'm saying, like, if they've come to the conclusion that that's the tier one, or not tier one, but the top of the line Storm deck,
right.
Then some people will play it, meaning that they will.
Sure. Yeah, but they're not going to, because, like, it's not good.
The pros may not play it, but if they come to the conclusion that that's the best Storm deck, the first person who writes an article about it, all of a sudden all the Timmies are playing it.
Sure.
If it's good or not, it will see play.
That's why they write an article.
Because Timmies play Storm in Modern, right? That's the definition.
The Timmies will play whatever you post in a Star City article in Modern.
The articles on the mothership. Like, yeah. I don't even read, like, Sam Black will put an article on the mothership, and, like, someone will come into the shop with the deck belt, and I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, it's Blister Coil weird and all this crap, and I'm like, oh, man. And then they'll KO somebody on turn 3 one game and then, like, whiff four games and then be happy with that at FNM.
Yeah, I don't think Timmies... read Star City Premium.
I think Timmy reads the mothership.
I think Timmy... I'm not talking about Timmy, like, the non-competitive player. I'm talking about the guy who, like, wants the edge at all these tournaments.
I'm talking about a literal guy named Tim that comes to my shop.
Oh, he's a total spot. Thanks, Tim.
No, I'm not... Like I said, I'm not talking about, like, the casual crowd of Magic. They read the mothership. I'm talking about the players who, you know, go to their FNMs. The typical Star City person who shows up to the Star City Open.
Spikes.
What's that?
You're talking about Spikes.
No, Spikes are more like tournament players. Like the FNM grinder.
What FNM grinder is building Young Pyromancer Storm?
FNM grinder, that's not a fucking thing.
It really is, actually.
Took two words and put them together. Two disparate words.
No, it really is.
Grinding the FNM circuit. Four planeswalker points at a time.
Nobody who is not a Spike plays Storm in a tournament.
Yes, they do. Okay, whatever. This is coming from two people who don't play Storm.
What? Timmy's like the cast, like, fucking eight mana cost green dudes. They don't play Storm.
Again, you're talking about, like, this group of players that doesn't play tournaments at all. I'm talking about the Timmy competitive players who go on to Star City and read their articles and believe that that's...
I don't know what Timmy means, stuff. Ben. That's what's going on here. Timmy is Jamie Wakefield.
Sorry, again, you're referencing... Timmy all the time, and I'm not referencing it in the Magic terms of...
Yes, Tim. You're referencing the kid in the wheelchair on South Park. We get it.
Well, I mean that too, I guess. But
like, Ryan, you can't make a reference to a known psychographic and then say
I didn't think about it when I said it out loud. I'm sorry. Sure,
I don't mean the kind of Jimmy that casts a big creep.
It is the person who goes to FNM, but takes it very seriously, plays competitively,
yes.
Reads all the stars
Spike!
And the angels, but is not good enough to get on the pro tour.
Spike, that's literally
nope, that's not
definition.
A Spike.
Oh!
No, there is a big difference.
Shut up!
But my God, a Spike is a person who goes to Grand Prix, is a person who goes to bigger events. That is not a person who just sits at their FNM.
This is making it into the podcast. I want to let you know.
Wait. I'm going to look this up.
I'm recording this. I'm leaving it in. That is what you get for saying shit like that, Ryan.
Wait. I'm going to look this up.
That's fine. I don't really care.
It's not fair that you get to say shit like that and hurt my head, and then
yes.
You're fine afterwards.
I'm sorry. I was wrong about the Timmy thing. You're right. I misutilized that.
When R&D talks about spikes, with psychographics, they have Timmy, Johnny, and, quotes, the tournament player. And that person is Spike.
I don't like how you just get to take a dump in the middle of my living room and then walk away from it like, see ya. You said the dumbest thing I'd ever heard, and then I've got to deal with that, and it's elevating my blood pressure, and then you could just walk away from it like, cool, hope you got some Febreze.
And I hope you got some Febreze and Savage Summonings.
Sure, I mean, I guess.
I'm not paying $15 for a Savage Summoning. Forget it. I'll just buy booster packs.
Oh, shit, my token showed up today, too. I just found them on the counter.
It's a good day for everybody.
Is that time to be up in 6 hours?
Then go to bed.
Well, guys, it's been a good podcast. We're really signing off for real this time. So thanks for listening, and I hope you had a good laugh at Ryan's expense, because I know I did.
That's fun. I mean, I'm glad I got to finish that conversation to explain myself, but cool. We'll just leave it like that.
I'm actually going to cut out all the parts where you explained. Piece it together to like...
That's fine. At least somebody besides Corbin will look like an ass for once.
That would be nice.
I'm just going to overdub with the mic every time Ryan goes to explain himself. I'm just going to splice in me going, I like chocolate ice cream!
I mean, that's fine. Alright, I'm going to go get some real work done.
Alright, see you guys.
Yeah.
Good night, guys. Good cast.
Yeah.
That was too much fun.
Right?